thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. I'm going to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you're sowing. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Shrimp Tank at the Boca Raton Studio, where street smarts and book smarts collide. I'm your host, Jason Hill, sitting here with my co-host, Kevin Cox and Roland Kidwell. We had a great show last week getting to interview Ian Horowitz of Horowitz Legal. He taught us some really neat asset protection ideas. If you missed it, you catch the entire show on iTunes or Boca Raton ShrimpTankPodcast.com. Have you ever wanted to take an MBA course in entrepreneurship? Well, we have a crash course for you here on the Shrimp Tank. We get to interview some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs in and around Boca Raton. We cover the do's and don'ts of starting, running, and growing a business. Now let's find out if our entrepreneurs will swim or sink in the tank. I'm joined here today by Kevin and Roland from FAU and our special guest, Stephen Fleischer from 2Degrees. Kevin's the assistant director at the FAU Adams Center and is doing some really neat things over there. Kevin, tell us a little bit about what's happening recently at FAU.
Well, there's a lot going on. In our world, we sort of work on semester timelines. So right now, it's a little bit of a transitional period. On Monday, we had the finalist pitch competition for our new venture accelerator, which is the Tech Runway. Really amazing company, stuff you wouldn't believe. I mean, there's a guy who's trying to figure out how to have Wi-Fi underwater to take samples at different levels in the middle of the ocean. Just wild technology, really cool stuff. In addition to that, we're making some transitions for our student club. We had a really exceptional president this last year. She was a great leader, Maria Nira. Grew the club from about 9 or 11 people to 70. So we're currently looking for the new top brass of the Entrepreneurs Club moving forward. That's Owls, Inc. Other than that, the Tech Runway Accelerator class from last year is graduating, which is quite timely because Stephen Fleischer, our guest here today, is one of the members of that class. And that's class 5 of the new venture accelerator at Tech Runway.
Neat. That sounds like some pretty exciting news over at FAU. Roland, can you tell us a little bit about what's happening over at FAU as well?
Well, I just want to mention one or two things. One is that we're sitting here with a keynote speaker for the Brazilian Business Council meeting coming up this week. That's Kevin Cox. He's going to go down there and provide a great overview of entrepreneurship in South Florida. And I'm sure tickets are still available. It's down there at the Fort Lauderdale Convention Center. Maybe the Convention Center. Is it the Convention Center, Kevin?
Yeah, it is at the Broward Convention Center.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and I don't need to know Portuguese or anything like that, so it shouldn't be too bad.
Good, good. The other thing we're looking for, too, is that if anyone is interested, we're always looking for mentors for the Adams Center for Entrepreneurship. If you're interested in being a mentor, if you're an entrepreneur who wants to give back to younger entrepreneurs coming up, our students, Google FAU Adams Center. And you can find the mentor link there and get a little bit more information about it.
So tell us a little bit about what you look for in a mentor, Roland.
I think what we look for, first of all, is a commitment to work patiently with students. They'll come in kind of with a vague idea of what they want to do. They may not take direction that well. They may need some insights on just basically how to do a lot of the basic elements of investigating a business idea. Gathering information about it, getting out of the building, talking to people. And so I think an entrepreneur with some expertise in that area, maybe some specific industry expertise as well.
And what type of industry?
Any kind of industry that that they would like to come offer their expertise in, I think. We've got all kinds of students with a lot of interesting ideas. We like to actually find some entrepreneurs maybe who are younger, who are actually working in the business right now to kind of go with our seasoned veteran entrepreneurs. But it just sort of depends upon what they'd like to do, what they'd like to give back, and how much time they like to put into it. Not a great deal of commitment of time, but I think just availability and patience are a couple of the qualities, as well as some expertise.
Any weak spots for the listeners out there that you would think that FAU would need as a mentor? Any type of
what do you
honors?
Think, Kevin? Do you see any weak spots?
That's a good question. You know, the mentors in general can provide meaningful help to the students just because of their practical experience in most cases. That said, you know, it's always nice to have mentors with real specific skill sets or backgrounds. Maybe technology.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe even functional specific areas. Maybe they know a little bit about marketing. Maybe the student really doesn't get that. Particularly ones that are coming over from other parts of the university.
Certainly. Or accounting and finance. For some reason, there have some tendencies that students, at least some of my students, are quite fearful of numbers. You know, I don't know if they're scarred from an old algebra teacher or a calculus course they've taken along the way, but sometimes they can be uncomfortable with the basic accounting and finance, you know?
There does seem to be a shortage in that arena. Well, let me introduce our guest today. We have Stephen Fleischer. A successful entrepreneur. He was in New York, and now he's down in South Florida. And one of his apps actually hit number one in the entertainment section for all apps. And now he's on to his next app called 2Degrees. Stephen, can you tell the audience listening a little bit about yourself as well as your app?
Hi, my name is Stephen Fleischer. I'm the founder and CEO of 2Degrees. I caught the entrepreneur bug at a young age. My father was an entrepreneur. My grandfather was an entrepreneur. My sister married an entrepreneur. Most of these guys were very successful, and I got to touch that at a young age, and I just always felt very comfortable. And after college, I had a job in corporate America, and I spent about 5 years working in a television studio at a company called MediaLink. We produced video news releases, did satellite media tours. I got to work in a control room, a master control room, and I loved this type of technology. And the world was going from a tapeless to a digital world, and I got to be involved with that transition. I got to help a big company create the software that digitized and encoded audio and video, and I got to send it to all the local and national television and radio stations across the country. Very fun job. I moved into a sales role, which I wasn't as fond of. And one of my best friends was an investment banker who had taken a break from his job to write a book. And spontaneously one day we said, hey, let's start a company and make iPhone apps. The iPhone had recently come out. It was very popular. I think we were on the 3G at that time. Steve Jobs had announced the App Store. I was new to the world, and a few months later, me and my friend Jeremy said, let's do this. Let's start a company. So with no experience in running a business or starting a company, we self-taught. We, you know, searched online, asked some friends and colleagues, got some advice from our families, and I had a pretty strong network of entrepreneurs around me, which helped me find a lawyer to form the company. And we got it off the ground fairly quickly, found some talent online through LinkedIn and Craigslist. And out of nowhere, we had our first app. It started with pencil and paper, had a graphic artist help us turn the design into digital art, had a developer make the art move and the buttons connect the screens. It came very natural to us. Our first app, the name of it was Pocket Devil. Very quickly, I think it was in a matter of days, it rose to number one in the entertainment category. And in 2009, it was one of the most downloaded apps in the world that year. We had somewhere between 5 and 10 million paid and unpaid downloads. And we were making a lot of money very quickly at a very young age at the very beginning of our company. We quickly scaled, hired about 25 people. We had five teams working on five different apps. And it was so easy the first time. We thought, let's do this again and again and again.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the new app now.
Okay.
What's happening on that side?
Fast forward 10 years. I have the new app, 2Degrees, which I'm trying to prove to the world that we're all connected. Mm-hmm. By 2Degrees, like 2 degrees of separation.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a mutual friend with someone else. And throughout my life, I would encounter these situations between people where they'd have the discovery that they find out they have a mutual friend or something very powerful in common, and they get very excited, very surprised and happy. And it's almost like a celebratory thing when you have this spontaneous discovery of the mutual friend. And I created 2 Degrees to allow people that are within proximity find out if they both know the same person. And that's what the app does. When you're at the grocery store, at the movie theater, in a restaurant, at a wedding, an engagement party, on the beach, you can get a notification that someone's standing next to you and you have a whole bunch of mutual friends. You can engage that person and connect with them. And through that relationship, jobs are found. People find jobs. Employers hire people. Relationships are made. Dating, friendships are made. It's the way most of us go through life. It's how things happen. It's usually introduction through a mutual friend.
Yep. So I want to go back a little bit here. And you're talking in the corporate world. So did you have to dress up? Like, get dressed every day, like a grown-up, like, you know, pants without holes in them, not wearing hats indoors. I know it's a podcast. It's not great for video, but for all the listeners out there, Steven wears the outfit of an entrepreneur every day. If anybody asks me, like, where can I find an entrepreneur wardrobe, it's Steven. Definitely. So I just had to ask. You know, I can't imagine you in a corporate all buttoned up in the tie. It seems like that'd be an uncomfortable place for you, not your natural environment, if it were.
What comes to mind is collar stays. That was one of my staples in my wardrobe, which means I had dress shirts on and slacks and belts and fancy shoes and living in Manhattan.
I don't believe it.
No.
Okay. So another thing you mentioned there in passing, were you really trolling Craigslist to find talented developers? Is that a real thing?
Honest truth is we had no idea what we were doing. We really didn't even know how to develop software. But Craigslist showed us the way. I don't know if we actually hired someone from Craigslist, but I think that was our first stop. LinkedIn cost money. Craigslist didn't. So we put some job postings, and I just remember interviewing dozens and dozens of people. Most of them didn't speak English that well. And one of these guys just hit a nerve, and we're still working together today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So let me get this straight. I could be in the middle of the Bahamas at the Atlantis Casino, and I'm sitting there at the craps table, and I could look across, and I could get a notification all of a sudden that my best friend's, let's say, best friend from college is throwing the dice. Is that what you're telling me from 2 Degrees?
That is exactly how 2 Degrees works. So in that scenario, you're at the casino, you're throwing the dice, and there's someone across the table from you, and you both have a great run.
Mm-hmm.
You both walk away from the table and no relationship happens.
Of course.
With 2 Degrees, you get to find out that that person across the table from you knows your best friend. And when you find that out, you end up spending the rest of the vacation together, trading stories about your friend, how you know him, what you've been through together. And now you have a new friend. And now through 2 Degrees, once you befriend this new guy that you met, who you feel like you should be friends with, now you have access to his network of friends. Right.
Gotcha.
Once you become friends, you're 1 degree from each other, and all of his friends are your 2 degree friends, and all of your friends are 2 degrees from him.
I have to ask you a question. What if you connect there at the craps table or wherever with somebody that's a mutual enemy, somebody that that you might not to meet? And what do you do? I mean, is there a way to screen that out or run away or what happens then?
That's a real problem. It depends who the mutual friends are, right? So here's how we solve that problem. There are certain contacts that we have on Facebook, on LinkedIn, in our phone contacts that we don't want anyone to know that we're connected to.
Amen to that.
Those are our private worlds. And our app allows you to exclude those people from these relationships. So if there's someone you don't want anyone to know that you know, they won't be part of this matching process.
That's pretty neat. So, you know, sometimes you could be on vacation and really, you know, not know that that person was across the table. But by having that app, really comes handy. Apps like Facebook as well as LinkedIn really, really don't touch, you know, that connection side of things. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's a wonderful user experience on all accounts. The students love it. Users think it's cool. But, I mean, we're here on the Shrimp Tank, entrepreneurship podcast about business, right? So talk a little bit about how Yeah, talk about the other side of the app, right? Like, this is not one of those applications that just wants to create a whole bunch of users and then someday maybe figure out a way to make some money, monetize it. No, instead, you do provide a business, you provide a service for businesses, which you can then monetize. So let's talk about the business of 2Degrees.
So these relationships between people who share mutual friends are incredibly strong beyond just the relationship. Because we're creating a network of people that are connected through friends of friends of friends, the value to a business is great. And here's how it works. From the very beginning, how we were going to make money was never a challenge or obstacle for us. We knew that if we could connect these people, then stores could benefit by posting some form of an ad or deal in the app. And the way it works is when a business posts a deal on our app, it's available to all the 2Degrees users within proximity to the business. If any of the users redeem the deal, their friends receive a notification. Someone you know just redeemed a deal. And what the way people work today, especially with technology, we tend to go where our friends go, shop where our friends shop, buy what our friends buy. When you're looking for a new dentist or a new place to get your haircut or you're in a new area, what do? You ask your friend. You know, who should I use? Where should I go? Who do you use? Mm-hmm. Well, now we allow the businesses to create, it's a heat map in a sense, socially driven behaviors that your friends are doing. And there's no private information exchanged on our network. It's completely anonymous. So when you go visit, you go out for lunch at a steakhouse in the middle of the day when you're supposed to be at work, and 10 or 15 people in your network get notified, someone you know just got, you know, a free beer with lunch at the steakhouse, it's not going to say your name, but you might see 15 people you know just redeem this deal at this local business. And then when your friends find out about it, they're inclined to go. And then their friends find out about it and they're inclined to go.
So my wife will not know if I sneak away to Rocco's Tacos in about an hour. It will be anonymous that me, Kevin, you having a cocktail or tequila shot later this evening.
That is correct. No one you know will find out that it's you, but they'll get to see in their feed what's happening around them. The people in their phone contacts that are doing things nearby.
Yeah, this is a really fantastic feature, and it capitalizes on this notable trend of kind of supporting small businesses, staying local. It can have real implications even from, and maybe I should mention, I've been a mentor or part of Steve's mentor team at the Tech Runway, so I have some additional insight into this guest and his venture, but it really can have meaningful implications for the businesses to get on the app.
Yeah, this model could disrupt a company like Groupon, because whereas Groupon is usually at a loss for businesses, Groupon takes half of the money that's made through the deal, and the businesses are already putting whatever their product or service is at a huge discount. So with our model, we drive new customers to any business locally without breaking the bank. It's a very low cost, and the quality of the customer that visits the store is very high because one of their friends shops there already. So they're very likely to experience, the person that visits the store is likely to have a good experience because they know one of their friends goes there. They know that their friend is at that business. And another great thing that happens that I haven't mentioned is when a business puts a deal into our app and all of our users are exposed to it, when they start showing up to the business and their friends find out about it, then they visit the store. And then their friends find out about it and they visit the store. What happens at the business, inside the space, the users are all connected by mutual friends and they start getting notifications. And then new relationships start forming in the business. That's another way they'll have a great experience.
So this could really explode a business. I mean, remember Pokemon, right? When that took off, that boom, and I'm driving down Federal Highway.
Searching for Pokemon?
Searching. Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, I see 500 people outside a small business. Technically, your app can do the same thing, right?
Yeah, it's a similar model to Pokemon Go. That was some of the inspiration was that real world augmented reality, you know, Easter egg on a map, mm-hmm. you know, try and get everyone to go to where one thing is and, you know, have that socially driven deal in the app.
Mm-hmm. Steven, are you finding there's a target demographic you have? Who's downloading the app? Is it mainly younger people so far?
We've had a great a great time growing with colleges. Students around the country where we've promoted the app have taken very well to this app. They're looking to meet new people, especially orientations where no one knows each other, and they find out that how they're connected to people. So we've had explosive growth at a few colleges in Florida, and we've been able to get the local stores on board pretty easily because they're trying to get more of this particular demographic into their business. And because this app is, you know, driven by behavior through friends, it can create a lot of growth in the businesses. And that's the model that we're going to be reproducing as we scale. We're going to go to different college towns, get the app on people's phones so they can use it socially, and then the deals will come in from the stores in the area.
Are you worried about when the parents get hold of it and start to use it?
Well, that goes both ways, right? I'm not actually quite the opposite. I'm looking forward to it being validated by the younger generation so the parents start using it, but we all know what happens when the parents start using it. I think that's the end.
Well, we're going to take a short break to hear from one of our sponsors, and we come back with our guest, Stephen Fleischer. We're going to jump into our section, Hot or Not, of the show. So don't change the channel. We'll be right back with more of the Shrimp Tank.
Shrimp Tank sponsored this week in part by Tony Bands. Tony Bands wrist weights help you get more fit with every move you make. The unique patented design will change the way you use wrist weights. Sleek, comfortable, odor-free, and durable. They can be worn all day or with exercise to burn more calories and tone your arms. Use the coupon code SHRIMPTANK and you'll save 20% at TonyBands.com. Check out Tony Bands Shrimp Tank podcast, our first episode, to learn about their success on QVC and the Kardashian show, Revenge Body. Use the coupon code SHRIMPTANK. That's at TonyBands.com. TonyBands.com.
Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, where we get to interview some of the best entrepreneurs in and around Boca Raton. I'm your host, Jason Hill, along here with my co-hosts, Kevin Cox and Roland Kidwell. You can always catch a replay of the podcast if you miss any of the segments today at the Boca Raton Shrimp Tank Podcast.com. And don't forget to download our podcast at iTunes in case you missed any of this episode or some of the past. For our next section, we're going to jump into a little area called Hot or Not. We're checking out right now, Stephen, if current times, if certain things in business would be hot or not. So when it comes to marrying an entrepreneur, you said you have a whole entire family of entrepreneurs. Is it hot or not right now to marry an entrepreneur?
Being married to an entrepreneur definitely has its ups and downs. I'm going to say it's hot. The reason it's hot to be married to an entrepreneur is because the dream that can be fulfilled if the company is successful outweighs the risk of the company failing. You can't get to that goal without trying. And I think that drive and that feeling that everyone has as the company's growing and heading towards success, trying to take off, gives everyone, you know, passion and hope and feelings of, you know, that, you know, the big prize is waiting for them at the end.
So it sounds like a lot of ups and downs. So tell us a little bit about your scenario. You had an app go number one in the App Store, and we now know that the app world is extremely crowded. So tell us a little bit, you know, at home, you know, the stresses of an entrepreneur with marrying an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So when we had that big hit back in 2009, there was 14,000 apps total in the App Store. So the App Store could have been on Shrimp Tank with 14,000 apps. Now, I don't know the exact number. I think it's in the hundreds of millions. And the market's become very saturated with big companies. Everyone has an app. Everyone has an app idea. And it's hard to navigate. You know, there's a lot of noise. And when you're at a startup, you know, you raise money, you have a great idea, and every month that goes by, you're spending the money. It's a race to success. You have to have growth. You have to have users. You have to get sales and revenue. And you're working around the clock to do it.
All right. So we know Facebook. Facebook's jumping into the dating game. Is that hot or not?
I'm going to have to give that a big not. I think that's about as appealing as if LinkedIn went into the dating game. Facebook is a place where we connect with the people we know and the people that we care about. It's where we exchange private information with our closed circle. And people use it for what they use it for. It's hard.
See, that's interesting because when Facebook first started, I might argue that it almost began as a dating app. If you remember back in the days where you were required to have a university email, in order to get on. It was a substantial amount of dating interactivity at the time. And then, you know, as Roland mentioned earlier, everyone's parents got on it, and then that was kind of that. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I just think that when we use a platform, an app, a technology, you know, Facebook is for social media. LinkedIn is for networking. You know, Instagram does what Instagram does. Dating apps are for dating. Facebook is not a dating app, and it never will be.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. It's the same time. It's the same way that sometimes your Facebook ad campaigns can be challenging, right? You go on Facebook to see what your family's up to, or stalk someone you went to high school with, or whatever you're doing on there. But you're not on there to make a purchase, you know. So if a nice pair of dress shoes pops up, you simply ignore it. Whereas if I type into the Google bar, you know, AdWords, dress shoes, chances are I want to buy some dress shoes. It's not like a creepy thing, or, you know, it's just I want to buy them. So I see different advertising models. It has implications for that as well.
I think people on social media, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere that we're using these giant platforms for free, we've all just accepted that this is the model. We are going to have ads. I mean, search engines is probably, you know, the primary one. We're going to use this. It's going to be free, and there are going to be ads thrown at us from every direction. And one of the big topics right now that people are complaining about, and it was mentioned when Mark Zuckerberg was in front of Congress, is I was having a conversation with my spouse. And a few minutes later, I saw in my Facebook feed an advertisement for what we were talking about. And I've been hearing this mentioned more and more. No one knows who's doing it, where it's coming from, but I think it's something that's affecting everyone on their phones and on the web.
Big companies that offer services for free are scraping audio. Guarantee it. I use Skype, and I talk to fellow researchers, and I won't name the companies, but a company name comes up when we're talking about doing data collection, and you know, if it isn't the next day, I get an email from my rep at the company. And, you know, my colleague emails me and says, "Can you believe this? What are the odds?" I wrote back, "Yeah, exactly. The odds are way too long." So then we started testing it, and we just say that company's name a bunch of times at the end of a regular call. Same thing happens.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question for any entrepreneur. Bootstrapping, still hot or not?
Bootstrapping.
It's a good question for you. At this point, you're beyond bootstrapping.
I'm going to have to go with hot and bootstrapping because it's a necessity. It's without the money, you can't operate. You can't run the company. You can't grow. You have to spend dollars to make dollars. And it's hard to raise money from investors. It's hard to raise money from friends and family. It's hard to put your own money into your company. Bootstrapping is, you know, defined as going month to month, getting the money from wherever you can in small amounts, and just trying to get there. So whatever helps you get there will be hot in my eyes.
How long did you have to bootstrap?
I think my first 3 to 6 months I was bootstrapping. I raised a few thousand dollars from a few people close to me. The company didn't have much value. It was just an idea. Once we had a prototype and a good pitch deck, I was able to raise some seed capital. And at that point, I think I was past the bootstrapping phase. However, whenever you're coming to the end of how much money you have, you're always in that bootstrapping mentality. Like, can I raise this $1.5 million from an investment firm? If I can't, how am I going to get the money? It's always your fallback option.
Bootstrapping, huh? And what's your burn rate? Just kidding. Don't answer that.
Let's go to the opposite side of that. Your first app, you had an explosion of growth. How are you guys able to hire, you know, right after that growth so quickly and get the right talent to be part of your company?
I think that was one of my biggest learning moments in my entrepreneur life. Finding the right people to work with. To this day, the more people I work with, the more time I spend trying to find new people and making sure it's the right person. Because you're only as good as the five people around you. I'm not sure where that quote came from, but I've been hearing it more and more. And I think that the results of what you're working on, or the output, is equal to the average of those people. And if you have people that are bring negative energy or aren't in it and dedicated and passionate and have the drive, then the product that you have or the impact that you make on people is not going to be there.
So let's jump into a hot or not leading from that question. Promoting within, would you say, is that hot or not?
Promoting within in what capacity?
So within your company, you had an explosion. And then at that point, did it make sense to pull in outside talent? Or did it make sense to take the current talent and push them up the chains and hire within, would you say?
So I think you can get results from both of those choices. It really depends on who the people are that are working with you, how long you've worked with them. I think that if you have someone that works with you that's qualified and a good relationship, you can always harness the relationships that they have with their network. And you never know who you're going to find when you go outwards. But I tend to always start from the inside and then go out.
All right. I got one more for you. Hot or not, the Tech Runway New Venture Accelerator at FAU. You were a part of it. You're going to graduate on Thursday. Is it hot? Not? What are your thoughts?
I'm going to say fire hot. The ecosystem for entrepreneurs and startup businesses in Florida is hotter than ever right now. And even in the last year, I've seen it grow so much. I've made so many relationships with accomplished, knowledgeable, experienced people. The mentors I've connected with, the advisors that have touched my company and shared their experiences with me has helped my company grow. They've introduced me to the right people. And I'm incredibly grateful and thankful for this program, and I'd highly recommend it to anyone in South Florida, as well as other programs like accelerators and incubators that can help catapult you or boost you or put you in that right mindset and environment with the right people. And I'm very excited to graduate this week and see where the next chapter takes me.
So Kevin Cox, hot or not?
That's an easy one. Kevin Cox, hot.
Absolutely. Okay. We're going to take a short break to hear from one of our sponsors. When we come back with our guest, Stephen Fleischer, we're going to jump into our section called Plead the Fifth. Don't change the channel. We'll be right back with more of the Shrimp Tank.
As always, the Shrimp Tank is brought to you in part by FAU's Adams Center for Entrepreneurship. The Adams Center provides expert entrepreneurship instruction to students, staff, faculty, and the community. Enroll now for the Fall 2018 Entrepreneurship Bootcamp, consisting of 24 instructional hours delivered across 8 weeks by your co-host, Dr. Kevin Cox, me, along with the special guest speakers. To inquire or register, search FAU Adams Center, then just click on Entrepreneurship Bootcamp. Hope to see you there.
Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, where we interview some of the best entrepreneurs in and around Boca Raton. I'm your host, Jason Hill, along with my co-hosts, Kevin Cox and Roland Kidwell. You catch the entire replay of the podcast if you miss any of the segments today at the Boca Raton ShrimpTankPodcast.com. Don't forget to download our podcast at iTunes in case you miss any of the episodes and check out some of our great entrepreneur stories. For our next segment, we're going to jump into a section called Plead the Fifth. So in this section, you're only allowed one time to say Plead the Fifth. Okay, Stephen?
I think we're going to get this one today, Jason. I got some insider knowledge. How can we fail?
I'm going to let you kick this one off because you know Stephen so well. Go ahead.
Wait, okay. Before we get started, how many questions are we going through so I have an idea when to plead the fifth or not? Or is that not allowed?
Is that a plead the fifth? I think we got him. Yeah. I mean, just plead the fifth on the first time. I think we got him.
You'll know when you need to. So you recently raised a round of funding. Who got the better deal? 2 Degrees and Stephen Fleischer or the investors?
I'm going to have to go with the investors on that one. I want the people that support my company. I realize this is a backhanded question because no matter how I answer it, I could get in trouble. But first and foremost, the people that invest in my company, I want to make sure they have a good deal and they're not taken advantage of. And I find that if I do the right thing, then it's going to come back to reward me in the end.
That sounds like a board of directors wrote that answer down for him to read. Nice. All right. You got one?
Sound like when Mark Zuckerberg was front of the Senate. Good answer. Let's see. What's your most hated competitor within your niche, would you say? LinkedIn, Facebook? What would you go with?
My most hated competitor.
Oh, there's a company that has a similar name to in the App Store. Ooh. That could be it. Well, I don't know. What do you got?
That's I was about to use my, you know what, but
I ruined it.
But I don't necessarily hate them. There is another company called 2 Degrees in a Different Space, and they have my domain, 2degrees.com. So I'm a 2degrees.io, which is the Indian Ocean domain in and out, which a lot of tech companies use, which I think might have worked out for a reason. So I don't hate them either. I think I'm going to plead the fifth on this one.
Ooh. Well, that was pretty easy.
I got him.
Well, let's ask him some more questions, because now he has to answer them all. So this should be fun.
All right.
Absolutely.
So in class five of the Tech Runway, what's the best company?
In venture class five?
Yeah.
The best company?
Yeah.
That's a pretty easy question. I'm going to have to go with 2 Degrees. There's nothing I've ever believed in more or been a bigger supporter of.
Yeah.
So, sorry, guys.
Goes in the booth and just votes for himself.
Two degrees all the way.
Okay. I have 8 Facebook friends.
8?
8. And I have a BlackBerry. Tell me the likelihood you think it would be that I'd start a tech business.
Well, bonus points for not having a flip phone. So, you have an edge there.
You're right. I don't.
Oh, okay. So, you're on your way. Listen, you can start a tech company. Odds that you're going to start a tech company with a BlackBerry and 8 Facebook friends. Pretty unlikely.
Does 2 Degrees even work on a BlackBerry?
We chose not to.
Nothing works on a BlackBerry.
Made some BlackBerry apps in the past, and I don't know if the investment was worth the outcome.
I use my BlackBerry as a paperweight. How about you, Kevin?
I think it might be secretly a sly strategy, because I get all these updates. I get people annoying me. I got apps telling me to do stuff and calendar and Roland's over here. None of those alerts, you know? It's like,
I put my credit cards.
It doesn't work on my BlackBerry. So, you know, gets out of stuff, I imagine.
Yeah, if you ever need a replacement BlackBerry, we'll be happy to give you our spare ones over here, Roland.
I get enough grief at home for that.
So, you were successful at a young age. What is the number, when it comes to money, that it would take you to just stop and retire?
What is the number? I think my wife said the number recently. I'm going to have to quote her on this one. All right. So we were watching a popular TV show about startups, and I think that someone offered them on the show $10 million. If I offered you $10 million for your company right now, would you take it? And she said, I would definitely take it. Would you? And I said, hell no. But if that's what she wanted, I'd be happy with 10.
Yeah, it's really easier to disagree with her when it's a hypothetical scenario, huh? It's a little tougher when the check's sitting there.
Yeah. I have no intention to sell this company for anything less than somewhere in the 9 figures is where I see this company going in a minimum. Otherwise, take it to public offering one day. Those are my 2 intentions with this company.
Well, those are some really great answers. I want to thank you for coming on the tank and being a guest, Stephen. For the people listening at the Shrimp Tank, can you tell us how they would get in touch with you if they want to learn about your company?
Sure. You can find me by my email address, Stephen, Steven, at 2 degrees, spelled out T-W-O, degrees.io. That's Stephen at 2degrees.io.
Okay, that's great. Well, you can join us again next week at the tank. And feel free to listen to the entire podcast at the Boca Raton Shrimp Tank Podcast.com, as well as on iTunes. And you can even catch a sneak peek on YouTube about our latest episode. I want to thank you again. This is Jason Hill with my co-host Kevin Cox and Roland Kidwell, saying thanks for joining us on the tank.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When you take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When you take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank. We're the Chris Hanks. We want to put it all together. This is big thanks. Doing big things. Chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real. This life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream. All the dudes yell. This is just what I do, and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie, keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you're sowing. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 26.
16. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it take a swim, only option is to win.